Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the DoubleClutch.ca podcast. I'm your host, Nick, managing editor of DoubleClutch.ca magazine, and I'm joined in studio by the usual suspects. We got Nathan. By the way, thank you for not interrupting.
Howdy.
Me. God damn it! And after a not-so-brief hiatus, we got Imran back. Yay!
Yay!
Howdy.
I'm my biggest cheerleader.
What have you been up to, man?
Well, I was fasting for a month, for one, so
yes.
No food or water in me for a little while. It makes me a very cranky boy.
You look great, though, man.
Thank you. Thank you. I lost a couple pounds. You probably can't see that on radio, but yeah, glad to be back. I missed you guys.
Oh,
definitely
missed
you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Like for the last few weeks, be like, man, what do we talk about?
Yeah. I feel like my wife... also missed you guys because I would talk to her about all the cars that I had.
And, okay.
Fair.
And yeah, you can definitely tell.
See,
she
kind of... Yeah. It needs to go somewhere.
Yeah. Like, please leave.
Yeah.
Like,
can you just go talk to your fucking kid friends about this, please?
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Only so many times she wants to talk about ambient lighting and wheels and yada, yada, yada. So, yeah, she's glad I'm back too.
Sick. So what have you had?
A lot of cool stuff, actually. Kicking it off with the Hyundai Ioniq 6 EV.
Not the EV6 that I astutely pointed out in our talking points.
Yeah, in our pre-gaming. And honestly, I shudder when I say this a little bit. Like, EVs are slowly growing on me.
Yeah.
And you'll know this because I've asked you for a couple of pressers when I see a couple of EVs. I'm like, oh, I'll take that one. I don't know if I'm getting used to them or maybe I'm just getting old. I'm turning 39 in a month. So,
ew.
So yeah, maybe it's getting to 40. Those EVs starting to talk to me a little bit.
I feel like I'm the only one who actually appreciates the Ioniq 6 styling. Like, I actually like it.
I love it. I strongly prefer it over the 5. And I think it's you and me alone in that camp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I think the 5 looks fantastic.
The 5 looks good.
I like the 5.
Like, the 5 with its, like, retro-futurism, angular...
Yeah.
Digital bitch ass thing is like pretty cool, but like the 6 is just genuinely pretty.
Yeah.
So, but I can't figure out the 6. Like, when I look at it, first of all, I think fish for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know. I see a fish face.
Yeah, catfish front end and a boat tail rear end.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it has a weird like 930 turbo esque spoiler thing.
Yeah, it's sick.
Thing going on.
It's a heritage teardrop rear end. I love it.
Yeah. So it's I'll call it interesting. I don't dislike it. Like, I think it looks cool. I think it has to grow on a lot of people, and maybe that's why you don't see as many of them on the road.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen one in the wild.
I don't think I have either. Yeah. I was thinking about that.
Such a shame. Everyone's gobbling up these Ioniq 5s like left and right, and the Ioniq 6, I think, is better.
So
I can count on one hand how many Ioniq 6s I've seen in person.
Nick, I truly...
Since they launched.
Like, I don't think you're embellishing, Nathan, because I don't think I've actually seen one on the road.
I don't think I've seen one, which is such a shame.
It is, because... Like, this car is actually fantastic.
Yeah.
And fantastic in the sense of if you're looking for a transportation machine, something that gets you from point A to point B, that doesn't get in your way, that doesn't bother you, that doesn't frustrate you, that doesn't annoy you, the Ioniq 6, like, is it. It is super quiet, as most EVs are, but not just from a powertrain perspective. I mean, that's a given with EVs. Wind noise is surprisingly low.
It's that teardrop shape.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, but to be honest, like the couple of Mercedes that I have, that the melty jelly bean shape, I would say that they had more wind noise than this Ioniq 6 did.
That is a bold statement, sir.
It is, but that's what I kept thinking as I was driving this. Like, I kept thinking of the fact that, like, wow, this thing is quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, luxury car quiet. Mm-hmm. And even its road manners, like the way it absorbed, you feel the bumps in the road and stuff like that, but they were very subdued.
Mm-hmm.
There was no like cheap thunking going on. It was like a very sort of like quiet thump.
Yeah, like, it was like a really well-made, well-thought-out car. Yo, I thought, okay, so in the Ioniq 5 I had, which is like mechanically the same thing.
Right.
I thought it was like... Rush pointed this out, and I noticed it after he pointed it out. I thought it was a tiny bit like underdamped in the rear end, like it's a little like too pillowy wallowy.
Okay.
Did you pick this up in the 6?
I didn't think so.
Okay.
I actually thought it was soft,
mm-hmm.
but surprisingly composed.
Okay.
And I don't know, were you driving, was it the rear wheel drive?
It was a rear drive preferred, so like pretty basic, just like
For the record, when I stole that Ioniq 5 off you for the weekend, I didn't pick that up either.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I don't
know. Maybe it's just used to BMWs.
Yeah, no, I didn't get that. Like, I couldn't.
Was that three minutes?
There,
5 minutes. We made it. We made 5 whole minutes without mentioning how great BMW. Carry on.
The reality is, like, it's there's a little bit of built to the price. Like, when you grab, you know, the door cars, they feel very, very plasticky. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's a, I know I'm nitpicking here, but it's like a regular touch point that you touch every time you get in and out in the car. So that felt weird to me. And then a lot of the options that you think should be standard on a near $60,000 car are part of the ultimate package.
So that's the other thing that surprised me about the rear-wheel drive Ioniq 5, that it was pretty well equipped to begin with, like in and of itself, as you would expect from Hyundai.
Yeah,
but it all, but it was also missing like key things that you that, like you said, you would expect from a $60,000 car. Like the base one didn't have a 360 degree camera, didn't have a blind view monitor.
It's got blind spot monitoring, doesn't it?
Blind view.
The hell's that?
Hyundai's camera thing.
You know the circ in the gauge cluster. The
that thing.
It doesn't have that.
No, it didn't.
Which I thought was very weird in the base five.
Well, they got a paywall that so that you get the ultimate.
Yeah, but also things like rain sensing wipers are not part of like they're part of the ultimate package. Paywall. Ambient lighting is part of the ambient ultimate package, which again is weird.
They got incentivized. Well, yeah, like you and I, we all know these things are like inexpensive to implement.
Yeah.
But like,
it's like $4.
They have to
LEDs.
Incentivize you to get the nicer one somehow.
For
want to do skids.
You're not gonna do good skids anyway.
But yeah, but you know what on the flip side, also no wireless Android Auto.
That's just the Hyundai Kia.
Their update schedule's weird.
They only just fixed that with the 24 Santa Fe.
So that's. It's just odd, but on the flip side, you have things that you perhaps wouldn't expect in a mid-grade model. Like, for example, the lift gate is powered. Like, you don't have rain sensing wipers, but you have a power lift gate.
Yeah. Hmm. You do get like adaptive cruise and like power. I think it's power seats, right? Is it power seats? I can't remember.
Oh, no, I can't remember.
But you do get adaptive
cruise. No, I don't think it is. It's not power seats.
But I think you get adaptive cruise.
You do get
adaptive
cruise.
That's really what I want.
Yeah.
Give me that.
Yeah. I think we're. With Hyundai specifically, it's like they're a victim of their own doing in that sense, because you're used to like some of these things that you consider like they made some of these things standard-ish. You know what I mean? Like offering some of these options in their mid-grade cars and whatever. So it's just an expectation. Like I don't take many points off for it per se.
Yep.
The car's still fantastic, but I was just shocked to see that some of these options were part of this $6,700 ultimate package. Yeah, and there's nothing in between. It's like it's preferred and then add damn near 7K.
Yeah. But do you get an additional motor out of that too? Like the jump to ultimate also makes it all-wheel drive, is it not?
Yeah.
Like that's not nothing.
Yeah, and there's a long list of items that you do get. So if it was my money, I'd want to plunk down the 7K, but also I'm bougie AF and always want the top end model of whatever I'm driving. But all in all, like this thing was friggin' awesome. Like it really was. The biggest compliment I could give it, and I mean this in the best way possible, in that it is as boring as a Toyota Camry. And again, if you understand cars, I mean that as a compliment.
That's a pretty good compliment.
Yeah. It is just, it's something that gets out of your way. You don't need to think about, the range is good enough that there's no range anxiety. It charges fast enough that you're not worried about that either. It's quiet, it's comfortable, it's spacious, it's got trunk space.
It just works.
It just works.
Yeah. It just like works. It gets out of its own way. It gets out of your way, as you were saying. That's a good way to put that. It gets out of your way. It's not like an active participant in your life. It's just kind of also there. It's a tool. It just works.
Yeah, which is
you don't have to. You're a tool. You don't have to think about it.
Which is why, like on one end, Camrys are a dime a dozen, and I feel like as an EV, this thing should be a dime a dozen. You know,
we're talking
about how we're shocked that we haven't seen these things on the road.
But it's a sedan-shaped thing. People don't want it because it's a sedan-shaped thing.
Yeah, sedan-shaped thing is no longer default vehicle.
Yeah.
Crossover thing. Ioniq 5 is now default vehicle. Yeah. Ioniq 6 is not default vehicle. It's now interesting vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's not default vehicle.
Isn't that weird? Like, like the Ioniq 6, the Camry, it's like, are they interesting now simply because they're not crossovers?
I said this, I think, like, in one of our early episodes of the podcast, like, with the Prius, with Toyota's Prius, right? How everyone's so in love with the Prius.
Yeah.
I think Toyota's caught on to the fact that because it's not an SUV, it is now inherently interesting and kind of sporty. So they've leaned into the sporty, interesting thing and designed it and set it up to drive accordingly. All of a sudden, the Prius is a fucking great car because I was like, yo, this can be fucking interesting now because the RAV4 is the boring car. It is. And the Camry, I think, is picking up the same thing.
Just like the same way, like, I don't know if you guys know this, but like bell bottoms are coming back.
Dude, literally everything from the 2000s is coming back.
Hold on, I thought low-rise was coming back.
Oh, I don't know. Well, hopefully not for men.
Hopefully not both in the same pants. Yeah.
but it's you're right. I think early on when like SUVs weren't the flavor
when they weren't
of the
everywhere,
day,
they were interesting.
You wanted one. Yeah. Right? That was cool. That was you got an Escalade. You got all these like cool. Those are the cool things. And now you're right. It's the opposite.
Yeah. Default choice. The actual best-selling vehicle in Canada, and I think in America as well, barring the F-Series pickup, which just always cleans up every year by a mile, is the RAV4 and the CR-V. Like, compact crossover is default vehicle.
Yeah, so if you're trying to be cool, you don't want to drive what your grandma or your parents drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and they, statistically speaking, drive a RAV4.
Yeah, so you get a
sedan. You get a Camry to be a bad
Or to be fair, on Ioniq 6.
The world is ending.
Yeah.
But
speaking of Camrys.
Right. So speaking of Camrys, our friends at Toyota invited us, and I got selected, to check out the all-new, pretty much new, mostly new 2025 Toyota Camry.
Mostly new, yeah. It's
very, very heavily facelifted.
Yeah, Toyota bills it as like a next-generation model, but like it's more or less a really, 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 really extensive refresh.
But it's so heavy to a point where it's a different
car. It might as well be new.
Like it's a much more extensive refresh than the new Mustang.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no like there's no common lines.
Yeah.
Maybe the seat pillar.
Powertrain differences from
last gen? So, taking a page from the Prius, the all Camrys are now hybrids.
Okay.
There's the 2.5 liter gas engine, no turbo.
Yeah.
And hybrid assistance, either in the form of front or all wheel drive. All wheel drives get a third motor on the back axle to create like electric all wheel drive.
Okay.
Deliveries begin next spring. Pricing starts at $34,000, goes up to $44,000. Again, these cars are all hybrids.
Yeah.
Which is pretty interesting, considering a loaded Accord hybrid is like almost it's like 48, I think.
Yeah, 44 seems low.
Yeah.
And with the entry level Accord, which is gas only, mind you.
Yeah.
That's like pushing 40.
Mm-hmm. Granted, I think the Accord's a little bigger, and you could make an argument as to whether or not it's a little nicer, but, like, the bottom line is they compete with each other.
Yeah.
And the Camry undercuts it, and it's a compelling car. So I got to spend, like, half a day with it. They for the front end, they borrow the same styling theme, like the Hammerhead theme they're doing with the Prius and the Crown. That kind of, Hammerhead sort of theme.
Yeah.
With, like, the, you know, beak that goes over the headlights.
Which is nice.
Yeah, I think it looks great.
Yeah.
And they've gone for, like, a more conventional, like, profile and rear end. So it looks, like, the front end looks kind of like a Prius. The rear end looks like a Camry.
Right.
But, like, they've amalgamated the designs very well. Car looks great. Mine was blue, like, a really nice shade of blue. No two-tony business. Mine was, like, loaded, so everything was body colored, no different body color roof or trim or anything like that.
Oh, wait, they do that on the.
They do that. So, like, I guess they did on the XSE, right? The sporty ones, they do that. Mm-hmm. Where it's like semi two tone sort of deal. Just blue on machine wheels. Really sharp looking car. Interior's totally updated. It's got the new infotainment screen, so it's a 7-inch on the base car. It's a 12 and change on the upper trims. They got like a quilted micro suede thingamajou on the dash.
Ooh, thingamajou.
It's a thingamajou. It looks nice. It's a nice little touch, right? I think Hyundai and Kia do this a lot, too, where they're just like, what do we put on this surface? I don't know. Cloth. Done. And it's just something different than, like, plastic or, like, the fake metallic everyone's been doing forever, right? It's just something different and nice.
Yeah.
It's really quiet. It's very good on gas. It moves pretty okay. There is a lot of room on the table to do like a Camry Prime sort of thing if you want like a sportier one. Okay. They're not doing that yet, or at least there's no official word about it, but there's no reason why they couldn't.
So wait, all powertrains are now the 2.5 non-turbo?
All are 2.5 non-turbo with either two or three electric motors.
Gotcha. So you don't, so you can't get the 2.4 turbo?
You cannot, at least not yet.
Okay.
So Uber drivers are going to be happy?
Yeah. So like, I was getting, like, Toyota, Toyota calls for like 5 and change liters per 100 in this thing on average. Yeah. On the all-wheel drive ones, it's even better on the front drivers.
It's really good for all-wheel drive, buddy.
And that's what I was seeing. Like, it's not even like, oh, it doesn't translate to reality. Yeah. Because it's not a little turbo engine that's working way too hard all the time, it's actually just an honest, simple engine. It actually is that efficient.
Wait.
I was doing better than that before I started playing with it.
Hmm. Will, for the all-wheel drive one, is there a pure EV mode where a Camry will be rear-wheel drive?
There is a pure EV mode. Up to like, I think 40 or 50 kilometers an hour. Like, it's basically just for putzing around subdivisions. But like, or like getting out of your
rear wheel drive Camry?
Technically, it is a rear wheel drive Camry. Actually, you know what? I don't know this. Yeah. You know what? I don't know this because it's on the front, it's on the front wheels as well.
Yeah,
so
maybe
it's probably just the
Okay. Okay.
So no donuts?
Yeah, it's like it's Toyota's, like, it's not the new system they're using on the iForce Max, like, trucks, where, like, it's built into the transmission flywheel sort of thing, like Honda used to do.
Yeah.
It's the old MGU thing where it's, like the Prius does, where there's, like, two motors on the front controlled by the eCVT thingy, which works really well, actually shockingly well, and then a separate one out back. It's quiet, it's comfortable, it drove really well, looks great. There's lots of room.
Have you driven an Accord Hybrid?
Yeah, I did the first drive of the Accord Hybrid Touring, so another loaded one last year.
Okay, and how would you compare and contrast?
I mean, bluntly, I like that better.
Yeah, okay.
More premium interior, for sure.
It's like, it's a Honda, right? And I think, like, we were kind of, I think I started to touch on this last week and we got off on a tangent. Hondas are, like, basically premium products without the premium badge.
Yeah.
Like, everything they do is, like, pretty premium as far as execution and design.
Fair enough.
Except they're not fast. We're used to premium cars being fast. So I think the Accord just, to me personally, looked, felt, drove a little better. But like, man, especially if you don't really care about what you're driving, the Camry's a great car.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, in the piece I wrote, I kind of like, I made a comparison to the Camry and my toaster oven. I don't know what brand it is. I bought it last year.
Yeah.
It's not long ago. I don't know what brand it is. It was on sale at Costco. I remember thinking, that's reputable. It's probably fine. And that's the amount of thought I put into it. And to your point about the Camry being the boring car, it is, for the longest time, was default choice.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of car I should get. I'll get a Camry.
Yeah.
That's what everyone says to do. Mm-hmm. Just get a Camry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now that the Camry is not default choice, because RAV4 is default choice, the Camry can be kind of interesting. And it sort of drives like that. It drove and handled really well, and there's lots of headroom for them to play with it and go further up. And the thing is, they can do a Prime and still be in and around the Toyota Accord, Honda Accord Touring.
Yeah,
because like 44 versus 48, that's quite a bit of breathing room to do something more with it.
Yeah, I shouldn't say steep ask, but like, that's a not insignificant amount of money, especially in this realm of car.
And on top of that, like, when you really think about it, there aren't a lot of, like, the only other four-door sedan that does the plug-in hybrid thing that I can think of off the top of my head.
It's not a plug-in.
It's a 3 Series.
Okay, but not a plug-in.
The Camry's not a plug-in?
Not a plug-in.
Yeah. No, but what I'm saying is, like, to your Camry Prime point.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
So if Toyota were to do a Camry Prime, they're like, it's very rare company. Like, the top of my head, only the 3 Series, like the...
Yeah, it's the only like
plug-in hybrid sedan.
Yeah, and like the Camry is much bigger.
Yeah.
Like, much bigger. Yeah. And still cheaper. Not like a worse car to live with, right? Like, they're comfy, they're quiet, they're nice, they're reliable. Like, it's a Camry. It just works. It's just good. And like, now it's kind of interesting. And I'm looking forward to see what they do with it.
I tell you, the world is ending.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was a big fan. They're probably going to sell 800 billion of them because it's Camry. It's default car.
Yep.
And it's a very good car. And I think, like, it's had its little... It's almost, in the original draft of review, I said it's almost kind of disappointing because Toyota's been hitting everything out of the park so hard.
Yeah.
And innovating so much and trying so much new shit with, like, the Crown basically being a Lexus, but with more interesting trim options with, like, the brass stuff.
Right.
And, like, the new powertrains on the Grand Highlander and the Tacoma and all these other vehicles that are getting, like, this new iForce and new style of hybrid drive that work really well. The Camry is almost a disappointment because it's not pushing the envelope nearly as hard, but the Camry can't do that. The Camry has to be the basic car. Everything on it has to be proven. Right. It has to be vetted. It has to work. It has to not alienate the leagues of Camry people out there that already have these cars. And I think that's what this does really well.
Because it's their bread and butter car that has to evolve.
It has to evolve. Mm-hmm. It can't alienate. It has to just evolve and work. It has to be a meaningful improvement without leaving anybody behind. And if you look at it that way, it's a home run.
Yeah. And I think, like, Toyota has a large enough portfolio of vehicles that it's okay for them to play it safe with the Camry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Camry is the safe choice.
Yeah.
And, like, but, like, not a bad thing. It's nice. It's a nice place to sit. It's a nice place to be. It's a nice car to drive. Like, actually pretty nice. It's not like, we've all said this before, like, especially, like, Toyota's, like, previous gen of products, some of their legacy vehicles are kind of dull. This is not that. It's actually just like, oh, there's no, like, oh, this is dated. This is kind of whack. Why are they still doing this? Like, it's actually just, okay, very good now.
Nice.
Yeah. Awkward segue time. Imran, tell us about your Yukon.
You drove more cars.
Yeah, I did. So going from 5.5 liters per 100 kilometers to about 15 liters per 100 kilometers.
Oh, hell yeah, brother.
is
big V8 motor.
That's right. I had a GMC Yukon Denali Ultimate.
Hell yeah.
Did you feel like the ultimate baller in that thing?
Yes. So.
Yeah.
So.
Because I remember you texting me about it. You're like, you weren't quite looking forward to it.
No, I like small cars.
You know,
like,
that's dumb. Okay, so when I started here, I became truck guy. I think
very quickly.
Just because I was the only white
guy. Okay,
okay. No one else wanted trucks. No one could park trucks.
That guy probably likes trucks.
Well, because, like, Zach was truck guy, and Zach's moving, so, like, Nathan's truck guy now.
Okay,
yeah, this guy who's, like,
Nathan likes trucks.
Never reviewed cars. Nathan will tolerate trucks, so now he's truck guy. So, like, for the first year, the only nice vehicles I got were trucks.
Right.
I remember my first, like, baller-ass vehicle was a Sierra Denali Ultimate. My first vehicle over 100 grand was a Sierra Denali Ultimate. I'm like, yo, this is sick.
So yeah, I had an awakening, okay?
Yeah.
Like, it's like straight up, I had an awakening.
Yeah.
And you guys know, like, cars I've owned is like S2000s and BRZs and, you know, an Integra right now and a Boxster. Nothing's big. Nothing's big. Some things are big. But, well, good enough. But anyways, the Denali. Okay. First of all, I'm going to say this. I have a slight negative bias towards GM, and I wrote this in my review. My growing up, we had a 1991 Chevy Cavalier. It's like a base model. For some reason, it had alloy rims, but not power windows or door locks. I just remember that very distinctly. But anyways, by the time we got rid of it, it had damn near 400,000 kilometers. It was so rusted out that when it rained, water would pile up on the floorboard, so your shoes would get wrecked.
It had 400,000 kilometers on it?
Yeah, I mean, in hindsight,
the early
you're
90s?
Like, exactly.
That's pretty fucking good, dude.
Again, in hindsight, I'm like, wow, that's impressive.
Iron Duke.
Yeah, but you know, as a kid, I hated that thing. Like, you know, when I get dropped off in school, because you see, like, the disgusting rust. It was white, too, so it wasn't even, like, rust was, like, very visible.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of rust that you can, like, grab and chip off.
Yeah.
So anyways, I just kind of sort of hated GM for my childhood. I wrote in my review that it's like the Yukon, and I've had a couple others. Like, I had an Equinox, whatever you call it, and a couple others that, didn't sway the needle too much, right? And but this Yukon Denali, like, I was like,
it's legit.
You know, this is good. Like, it is good. Granted, it's $136,000, but Like, holy shit, is it good.
Yeah, and by, you're not sitting there wondering, like, where did the money go?
No, not at all. Like, everything is built well. It feels like a tank. And I mean that not just by sheer size. I mean by how everything's screwed together. Like, nothing feels cheap. Everything you touch feels premium. And even the way it drives, like, one thing I fully expected was, like, this thing is going to be this boat that's going to give me, like, seasickness. Not even Definitely a little bit. Like, that thing is, sure, it's not a sports car, obviously, but you'd be surprised at how flat it stays when you're driving, like, just regularly, obviously.
Yeah, I think Yukons are on air.
Yeah, it's a MagnaRide Air.
MagnaRide and Air.
Yeah.
Oof. Damn. See, I've only had the pickup body, so I've never had Air.
Oh, none of the pickups.
And, like, the pickups ride really well. Yeah. So, like, I can only imagine.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
Like I said, it changed my opinion on General Motors. Like, I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
Like,
I had the same thing. Yeah. Like, I always looked at them as kind of like mediocre at best, like the occasional flash of brilliance here and there. That was my general opinion. Yeah. And now, like, no. Like, when they try, when they apply themselves, they fucking crush it.
Like, yeah. And, like, every. Yeah. Like, the thing is. The thing looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, I love the design. I even love those blingy 22-inch wheels on it. Like,
they look great.
I'm cool.
It works.
Yeah. And I'm cool, like, the shadow chrome thing they do. Like, it looks really good with, like, the blacked out trim. It's like semi-blacked out trim. Yeah. It looks so good.
Yeah.
Was yours black?
It was like that. Yeah. But it has, like, gray speck in it. It wasn't, like, jet black.
Okay. So it was, like a super dark blue. Like, dark metallic blue?
No. It is black. Yeah. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It feels like black with a coat, with a very slight coat of silver on it.
Okay.
Like,
I think they offer them in, like, they don't, the Denali Ultimates only come in, like, three colors, and they're all black.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And then, but a nice caramel interior with, like,
the deep wood accents and stuff. Yeah,
and, like,
Paldao. It's open pore Paldao wood trim. Is that what it's called? I've had three of these things. Okay. I've written about it a few times.
And then there's fractal stitching on the leather.
Fractal, that's what the word is.
That's what the word is.
I've been trying to figure out what that word is.
Yeah, that's what the marketing brochure says. So, regardless, it looks great.
Over the Umbra leather.
Umbra leather, that's right, which is kind of like a caramelly thing.
Baseball glove, baby.
Yeah.
Super Cruise?
Yeah, Super Cruise, which my first experience.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. It works really well.
I haven't had it in a while. When it worked, I loved it.
So I didn't have, I know a couple of us have had issues with it, kind of the steering wheel going haywire or something like that. I had nothing.
I haven't had that. I just had, like, because it's so GPS based as opposed to, like, actively sensing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if there's, like, any construction, it just shuts itself down for the whole highway. So maybe it's been updated since then. But, like, I drive to work on the QE, and the QE's always been under construction, so it's never worked for me.
So I can't recall driving through any significant construction, but... it never conked out on me.
Okay.
Like, not once. Fair. And I used it extensively. Okay. I found that it's not irritating even when you do hypothetically look away from the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't, like, it softly alerts you. Like, there's kind of three levels of alerts.
Yeah. It's not obnoxious about it. And I like that it vibrates the seat instead of bite beeping at you.
You mean vibrates your ass?
Yeah. But you can't miss that, but it's not obtrusive either, right?
Yeah.
Like, signaling, like, lane changes, like, it'll just give you, like, a little on your left cheek, like, it's going to turn left now. Like,
No, honestly, no, jokes aside, it's actually a great system.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Even though they incorporated into the parking sensors and all that, it's actually a fantastic system.
Yeah.
Yeah, but everything about it except. And this is not going to be a shocker to either of you, is the Bose audio system, the touted as the 18-speaker performance series with two speakers in the headrest with, like, silver grills that when you first see it, you're like, holy shit, this is going to be good.
No.
It sucks.
No.
Like, it's not even mediocre. Like, it is not good. Like, we're talking, like flat, boomy bass, like you, like you ordered a knockoff sound system from somewhere.
That's kind of unbecoming of a big baller SUV, like the Denali.
Because they locked, like, the really nice stuff behind the Cadillac, because Cadillac's got an AKG.
I guess so, and I've heard that's, I haven't heard an AKG sound system, but I heard it's good.
It's a good time.
I was very disappointed, because I was expecting, like, I got excited, actually. I know we see Bose, and we're kind of like, but I'm like, the speakers in the headrest, 18 speakers, like, this thing's 130K, like, everything about this thing is friggin' awesome. Yeah, like, it should
be amazing. And
yeah,
it's
like, this is gonna be great, and you turn it on, and you're like, very underwhelmed. Like, to the point where, like, This sounds like I'm like embellishing, but like I was just like, I don't want to listen to anything. Like,
ew. You just want to listen to like that. Well, like, sidebar, I kind of felt the same way about last week's the Cayenne S we had last week.
Okay.
We already talked about that.
Is that Bose as well?
Last week's episode, we already talked about it, so I'm not gonna bring it up again. But I share the same sentiments because that one didn't have Burmester sound system. It just had the Bose, which was meh.
Yeah.
It was meh at best.
Yeah. Which is unfortunate.
Highs, no lows, it must be Bose.
There you go. There you go. But yeah, outside of that, guys, truly, like, I can't think of anything I disliked.
Yeah.
I even liked, you know, it's 420 horses for something that's like, what, 6,000 pounds or something. It doesn't scoot super fast, but I loved that sort of old school American V8
feel.
Yeah.
Like sound. It just feels there's effortless. There's
it
plenty.
Does. Yeah. Like, yeah. It was just, I think it's great.
It just feels substantial.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, for how big it is and for what it is. Your average, you say 15.5, whatever you were getting?
Liters per 100? I rounded up. It was 14.6.
Exactly. Oh, that's the thing. And like I've gotten those at 13. I've returned them with an average of 13 over the
that's
week.
That's really
like,
good.
Dipping down to like the nines on the highway. They are that stupid is efficient.
Really good.
That's the thing. Like it's one of those things, and I bring this up a lot, like about newer, smaller displacement, higher strung, like turbo motors, and I'm getting more dicky about it now as they get smaller. These compliance motors, like GM's three cylinders, like they're not always better in reality in practice.
Yes, yeah.
And like this is one of those cases where like, yo, like why can't you do this?
Yeah, yeah.
This is a big stonking pushrod VA that you all make fun of as being an ancient boat anchor, but it's doing this. It's making the numbers
it's
and returning this efficiency.
On the highway.
Yeah.
Yep. And feels great.
And feels fucking great because it's a V8 motor.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, like, I'm smiling talking about this thing because I really liked, like, I really liked
it. I love them. Like they're so good.
If you can't get your hands on, like, a Corvette or something to see what GM's about, like, find yourself a Yukon Denali.
Yeah.
Like, you'll change your opinion.
Yeah. When GM tries, they're capable of, like, surprising things.
Yeah. Yeah.
They really knock it out of the park. But even things like just their dashboard layout's really handsome. There's good use of storage. Everything looks and feels nice. The infotainment works pretty well. You really struggle for things to complain about in that.
Yeah. Although I did, my old ass self did mention the fact that at $130,000, $136,000 I think it was, there is no ambient lighting whatsoever. And that felt a little like a strip or something would have been nice.
Yeah, they don't do that.
But on the flip side... Hmm. It damn well has underglow lighting. Like, I don't know if
when you walk up to it.
When you walk up to it.
Yeah, and it's like, then it lights the running boards.
Yeah, like under, it looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's under the running board.
Yeah.
But it's like so bright.
Yeah.
Like you think, like it would work for Fast and Furious if it was in like green or
And like they have
blue.
A position such that like you can see the LEDs. It's not just underglow. Yeah, you can see the LEDs plain as day.
Yeah.
And like, so it just looks like the thing is like a UFO like radiating off the ground.
It actually looks wicked.
Fucking super.
And like at night when you're going up to it and you got that bright white like approach lighting and then the running boards come out for you. You feel like a king.
Yeah.
You feel like a kid. Yeah,
they're good at that. And then you keep driving it, and it just gets better.
Yeah, yeah, because you feel like you're sitting on anybody's roof.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, it's like tower over of one.
Yeah. Yeah, you really do.
And like, I got a V8 motor to rip your house down, too. Yeah.
That's right. It'll boost your ego.
Yeah,
it'll
it really does, ego.
Yeah. But yeah, Yukon Denali, buy one.
Cool. So what did you have the week after? knocking these off.
Today we're that's what happened.
Yeah. That's what it feels
today,
like.
Today, Imran's back, and we're interviewing about all his cars.
That's right. I actually follow that up with something
polar
that
opposite.
Can, something that can fit in the trunk, which is a John Cooper Works Mini.
Mm-hmm. Not just any John Cooper Works Mini.
Oh yeah, the 1-6 edition.
Dude, that was like fucking slathered with badges.
Everywhere.
Literally
like
everywhere.
1-6, and then like 1 of 999, like everywhere. Like even in the sunroof. Like that's it's right. baked into everything. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's 1 of 999, which they mentioned on the dashboard, on the sunroof decal, and a couple other places. It's also the 1-6 edition, which is manual. Mm-hmm. And that is on the fender. That's on the center caps, on the backside. It's everywhere you turn, you see that. I don't know why they're so excited about it because the John Cooper Works was always available in a manual.
Well, that's the thing.
So
that's what I'm trying to That's what I'm. Yeah, that's what I can't figure out.
Yeah. So let's back up. So it's a Mini.
You're right.
Cooper.
Yeah.
S.
Correct.
Yep.
With John Cooper.
With the John Cooper Works package, which is just a further performance package. Yep. It makes a little more power, lower stiffer, etc.
Yep.
And then this 1-6 edition adds
a manual transmission, which you could already get.
Right.
And like even on the base ones, Rush had a base Mini with a 6-speed manual.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it was not one of 999. It's the base one that anyone can walk in and buy for $32,000.
Mm-hmm. And it has a bunch of badges.
So many badges and lots of red accents.
And
so,
it's black on black.
And it's black on black. Do you get anything else?
No. That's the thing.
It's just badges.
It's just badges. Okay. It's just like a sticker package. And like.
But there's six stickers.
And honestly, it looks pretty cool.
It does look cool. Like actually, not talking shit. The thing looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And it has like this kind of blacked out thing going on, so the Mini logos are blacked out and the big stripe down the center is this sort of pattern contrasting black on black.
They do the matte black over gloss black thing.
And honestly I think it looks wicked.
With like little red accents to kind of pop it off. It looks pretty good.
And you know, I'm a little biased here as well. I used to have a Mini JCW.
And I keep forgetting that.
One key difference, though, between your old one.
And not what I was expecting. So I bought, as marriages often end up in compromise, I ended up buying an automatic JCW.
Yeah.
And like you two, we love our manuals and hashtag save the manuals and all that stuff. But to my surprise, this 1-6 edition, the manual made the car substantially worse.
And that's very surprising because the base Cooper that we had last year was fantastic with its six-speed manual.
Yeah, although I genuinely don't recall if it had. Okay, so the biggest issue, Imran, I'll let you take this away. What is the biggest issue with the 6-speed in this car?
So my hunch, and you guys can validate that, is that it must have a very heavy flywheel. So what happens is that, you know, the clutch feels, it's a little springy, but it feels fine. The shifter itself, it's a little bit notchy, but it's pretty good. But as soon as you clutch in, it'll hold revs. And not like the Honda Acura software way. You can very easily tell that there's like inertia going on.
There's just so much momentum keeping it spinning.
Yeah, and you have to kind of like wait for it to slow down before you shift. And if you don't, you're going to get this herky-jerky thing going on.
Yeah, you're just going to if you're actually trying to go anywhere with anything resembling a hustle, you're going to drag the shit out of that.
Yeah, like you have to be lazy.
Yeah.
And if you're not, it'll even like, you'll hear it moan and groan too.
Yeah, it's the weird like.
Yeah. That's
like it'll that's hold very it forever. Accurate. And then like, okay, you just give up and I just bang it into the next gear.
And I had a 2016 auto, so it was like a 6-speed auto, I think. So
Wait, hold on. The new one is an 8-speed?
I know they went to a 7 afterwards, I think.
Is it a 7 or an 8?
Or maybe it was an 8. I don't know.
If it's an 8, this would be another case of the Save the Manuals being defeated by the ZF8.
So we should look that up. But even the 6-speed auto was like, I had no gripes about it. It was great. It was a great transmission. And it sort of pains me to say that, I would totally forego. Even my wife, loved our Mini. Yeah. Like, it was a fantastic car. It was great. And if I were to ever get another one, it wouldn't be manual.
And that's so unexpected for me because, I love the stick 3-door we had last year, the base one. And B, like you'd think something as small, punchy, and fun as a JCW would lend itself naturally to having three pedals, but I took it out. I wasn't even a fan of the shifter.
It's very notchy.
It almost took it was almost too notchy. It almost took too much effort to jam it into gear a few times.
So,
because the synchros are working so fucking hard to try
to
match things up.
What's funny is that the clutch flywheel combo is telling you to slow down, and then how stiff the shifter is telling you to like bang that thing through the gears.
Yeah.
Right? Like natural. Be forceful. So on one hand it's take it easy, and on the other hand it's rip through those gears.
I couldn't find a good flow with that car.
No, me neither. However, I will say, and Nathan, we went for a little spirited spin, you'd agree here, is that I think the Power Figures are perhaps a little bit underrated because that thing is
torquey. It can move. Like once you're settled down in a gear, it can move real good.
Yeah, like it feels real strong. It's 228 horses. I forget how much.
228? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it definitely feels more.
No way.
Yeah, exactly. Like, definitely way definitely way more torque. Yeah, and I mean BMW is known to underrate their engines anyways, and you know,
and like and in typical BMW fashion, it's like it's all mid-range. It's just like just a big fat shove of torque all the time.
So that puts a smile on your face. Mm-hmm. And then I've always enjoyed the little darty chassis of the Mini. And I feel like compared to my 16, I think they improve the ride quality just a little bit. Mm-hmm. I remember on the 16 that I had, it was quite jarring and skateboardish. No, it was a couple years old.
Okay.
But it had pretty low mileage.
So it's not quite like, you know, a case of old versus new car.
No. Okay. And I can't imagine they changed too much because the interior is damn near the same thing.
Yeah, except for the infotainment. I believe that one gets like
It's a new UI. It's an updated screen. It doesn't have the new, like, full circular, Mini thing that's coming. But there's a lot of old in there in terms of, like, there's still, like, the MMI controller on the near the handbrake, which you totally forget about because it's touchscreen now, so you don't need to use it for anything.
Yeah.
But it's still there.
Interesting.
Like, I didn't touch it once. I didn't realize it was there until probably, like, 2-3 days later. I was, like, pulling the handbrake up, and I'm like, they still have it. Up. Yeah. But aside from that, like, it's you know, it's very Mini. It's still quirky. It's still different. It's still fun. It's just flawed with the manual transmission. Mm. And then I reckon that it does feel a little outdated, especially for someone who had one that was 8 years older. And you sit in and you're like, this is all the same.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah, overall, like a good car, I just think time has kind of passed it by a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I really like the base one that Rush had.
Yeah.
How much was yours?
I knew you were going to ask that, but I didn't look it up. I forget. I did look it up for the article, obviously, but I can't recall. I just remember that they're pricier than you expect.
The non 1-6 edition JCWs, those can push past 50 once you tack on the options.
Mm.
Like, it's pretty easy to go over 50 with those things.
Right.
In general.
Yeah, right. So if you're not, like, a Mini diehard, like, why wouldn't you get into, like a GR Corolla, Integra Type S, a Civic Type R? Well,
especially with a GR Corolla, because, like, if you're shopping for a Mini, you don't really care about cargo space.
No.
So at that point, like, if you're not a Mini diehard, but you still want something small and somewhat practical as a hatchback, just like, why not spring for a GR Corolla?
Yeah, exactly. All-wheel drive, more power, four doors.
Yeah.
For less money, technically, if you look at a base model.
Yeah, I mean,
especially now, like, the high 40s,
now
right?
Now that the market's kind of cooling, like, you could theoretically, like I've seen them starting to go for, like, closer to MSRP.
Yeah.
Which puts it, like, near a loaded JCW's, like, 50 grand, well, that mm-hmm. mythical 50 grand price point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big ask.
It's a tough sell.
That's where, like, where's the money going? Like, yeah, and I get, like, it's because it's a fashion thing. Like, I get that, but, like, I don't know, man. Like, the base one, I think the base one, like, starts at 32, and from what I recall, I may be wrong, but I vaguely recall Rush saying it was, like, 32 grand.
Yeah.
For a base Mini. And, like, that on its own was kind of tall, but you get it because it is a Mini, because it is supposed to be kind of like a luxury, bougie, styly car.
Sure.
This is fine. All right, whatever. You pay a bit of tax for that. The extra then $10,000-$15,000 price jump to get to the JCW, and then I'm sure more to get to this 1-6 edition. Like, it's fast. The base one was not fast. This one's fast, but it's not more fun.
So my compliment here is after having it,
mm-hmm.
I was like, I miss my 16 JCW in auto.
Yeah.
But, like, specifically my 2016 at the price that I paid for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which was, like 20-something.
Yeah.
And
that's a pretty cool, like, daily for that money.
Yeah. And that's what... So, if you were picking up, like, a 16, 17 JCW mm-hmm. and it's, like, in the low 20s or high teens, if you're lucky,
mm-hmm.
You're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, in auto.
In auto.
Yeah, but
it's just a weird thing to say.
Yeah, I just
I know it feels is. it feels wrong to say that.
Yeah, I feel like I have to like turn like, in one of my like man cards or something.
I find that if it's better, it's better.
I find there are so like quite a few like manuals that I prefer the automatic over. I've always felt that way about like the GTI and the dual clutch versus the six speed.
Yeah,
I will begrudgingly grant that as much as I enjoy lesser manual minis, like the automatic might be the way to go with a JCW.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I'm not on the fence about this. Like, I am like 100% the correct answer.
It's not like you could go either way. Like, you're firmly in this camp of like two.
No, I would like if you got the if you drove both and you got the automatic, the manual, I'd be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, really? Like, unless you're planning on modding it and there's like some kind of lightweight flywheel or something, and there's ways to get around this. You know, I didn't dig into the forums, but
I'm sure there is.
Yeah, if there is, cool. But if there isn't, and you're not planning on modifying it, then get the automatic.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, a flywheel is like kind of a big thing, like on a car that's going to be like leased, financed, whatever. Yeah. Like, no one's walking in paying cash for one of these things.
Yeah.
Like,
and you drop the transmission.
Yeah,
and like got 2,000 kilometers on it. Drop the transmission.
Yeah, and throw a lightweight flywheel on it that makes it chatter and do weird stuff, like because they all do. Like,
yeah, unlikely, unlikely. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, unlike something like, say, I don't know, a Civic Si, where you could probably tune some of that rev hang out.
Yeah, because that's all software.
Yeah, that feels like it's all software. As this Mini, it feels like it's a hardware fault, and I don't know why they did that.
I imagine it's a parts bin special of some sort, and they just pick something off a shelf, and yeah, it'll fit.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. Civic Si? That's what we have.
See what I did there?
Oh, well done, well done.
Not so awkward segue.
No,
not made awkward.
No, that was pretty, yeah.
By me.
That was good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're like 1 for 5 on segues. Pretty good.
Sweet. So yeah, we are playing with a couple of cars this week. First of which is a Civic Si. So we're going to keep this quick because we really want to talk to you guys about the other car we have this week. But yeah, Civic Si real quick. I was really looking forward to this thing. And
notice the past tense he uses.
I was really looking forward to this thing, and you know what? It kind of did live up to the hype, except for the fact that it could be a little quicker in a straight line.
Well,
no shit.
Welcome to Honda.
I mean, like the Mini is rated for 228, and it feels like way more. Yeah. The Civic is rated for, if my memory serves, 200.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just and about. I don't think they're all showing up to work, man.
Which really sucks because like. Because, like, the rest of the car is so good.
It is.
Like, I really like the rest of the car.
Yeah, like it looks... I like the styling of the 11th Gen Civic. I like when Honda does boring. When they do... Because they alternate between boring and wacky styling. when they do, like, the skip generation boring styling, that's when I get on board with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this works. You know, it's a Civic inside, so it's, like, you know, the nice dash layout. I personally don't love the red everywhere. Maybe it's because I'm a bitter old man.
It's not even that much red.
Yeah, it's kind of like this red-black thing going on, too. Like, it's, like, not even pure
it's
red.
It's not like... I get what they're going for. Like, you know, sport!
It's not like...
But it's not very sport.
It isn't as in-your-face as, like, you know, the Civic Type R or the Integra Type S.
Yeah, but it's because they're sport. They're way more sport. This is just
so that's what has an... It has an... It has a slight amount of sport, and therefore a slight amount of red.
It seems pretty red for the amount of sport that's not there. I felt like,
but there is sport there. I mean,
I feel like Lil Harv that I had last week had the same dashboard design.
Oh my god, even the HRV!
I loved it, but like,
oh, it's an HRV,
and it was nice, and like, it was a nicer place to sit because it wasn't pretending to be anything. I feel like the Si isn't a ton faster than Lil Harv,
right? Because you get it makes up for that in the chassis. And the transmission.
The shifter's pretty nice. I'll
give
you that.
It's a fantastic shifter.
It's a very good shifter. It's like almost like borderline, possibly almost matching like Miata good. It's very good.
It is very good. I was talking to Nick about this off mic. The previous generation had a super light clutch that was terrible. It ruined the driving experience. they've clearly fixed it with this one.
Wait, so it was lighter before? Like, they kind of like
lighter,
stiffened up, gave it a little more feedback kind of thing?
Yeah. Okay. Like, dude, like, I would not buy the previous gen SI just on that clutch. Wow. Like, I thought it was that bad.
Okay.
And this one, I think it's fixed. I think it's put together well. I think it's a great first quote unquote sporty car.
Yeah. That was the vibe I got out of it. This is a great first performance car.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
It's fun enough. Yeah, when you pin it, it kind of doesn't go anywhere, but that's kind of a good thing if you're, you know, it's your first sporty car. Yeah. It's safe. Like, it feels safe.
Yeah, it is safe. Like, I think it's a top safety pick. It has all the assists and airbags and shit you could ever want in a car.
Yeah.
Like, it's a Civic at the end of the day. Like, it's a good car.
So, and what's the price point? It still undercuts, like...
It's it's a hair over 35 before destination and taxes, which is pretty good value. But and Nathan and I were talking about this. The one problem with the SI's price point is the fact that the WRX exists.
And the GTI.
I was also going to say, what are the Elantra N priced out at?
Those are over 40.
Are they over 40?
Yeah.
That's also, they're also way faster. More of an analog with the Type R.
Yeah. Like, you can get a pretty well-equipped WRX these days for, like, around 35, 37. And dude, that's just... As much as I like the Civic Si, especially that work of art of a shifter, the WRX is just so much more car.
It's a lot more car. Like, you get, like... I think about the same car. Like, the Civic is the hatch. I think the Civic Si is a hatch, right?
No, it's not
a hatch.
No, it's a sedan.
Okay,
it's
so you get, like, same-ish trunk. Yeah, because the WRX is a huge trunk.
It does.
I think you get a slightly bigger back seat, if my memory serves. Correct me if I'm... No, Honda's really good about that.
I don't know about that, but the Civic has a really big trunk, too, though.
Civic has a huge trunk. Okay, Civic is very... But you get all-wheel drive and a shitload more power.
Yeah, 271 or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Subaru really dialed back the boost with the VB WRXs, which leaves a lot more
on the table, presumably. Although you could say the same thing about the Civic. Yeah. Like, we were talking about this earlier. We're like, I wonder if Honda kind of left this thing so... I feel like it's just neutered. Like, because it just feels like watered down and neutered to me.
Yeah.
Because people are going to crack it open anyway. And they're going to put the intake on it and the exhaust on it. That gives it that little extra personality that I think is missing from it. If you're looking for that.
Yeah, and I think if you look at, like... Well, if you look at, like, the whole portfolio of... Honda's sporty little things, like you have the Civic Si, you have the base Integra, you have a Civic Type R, you have a Integra Type S. Like, I just feel like they have a lot of, and yes, there's obviously overlap there, but there's a lot of stuff that they probably don't want to encroach on, and you know, I think it's fine. Like, sure, just like we say, many cars would do great with another 20-30 horses.
It's not even the horse. I could forget. Like, the Si has never been fast. Mm-hmm. The EK was pretty fast, but like the SI has never been a fast car.
Yeah,
but it's been a fun, interesting car with a charismatic powertrain. Yeah. And this has a great chassis. It is befitting of its name. But I feel I feel like the powertrain, really just the engine.
The rev hang
is terrible, and I fucking hate that in anything. And I would like a little more. Maybe a little more intake snort, a slightly angrier VTEC changeover, something, a little more personality in it. It just felt kind of flat to me.
Yeah, when I was driving it, I'd say, like, that's the 1.5 came to mind, and I mean that, like, in, negatively. Like, this, yeah, like, yeah. This is obviously a 1.5 liter engine, you know? Like,
a little Harv at a 2 liter.
Yeah.
Big block.
Yeah, just, like, I get what you're saying there, like, there's no, and that's the thing with this, like, turbocharged era. Like, Honda could get away with, or pre-turbocharged era, Honda could get away with no power because there was lots of personality.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. In those 160 horsepower motors, nothing. Right? Like, exactly. Right? So they felt frenetic. Like, even if they weren't, you look down and you're doing like 50 and the speed limit's 60. Like, you're still below. Yeah. Like,
the first time I drove like an old SI, I was 99 SI, and I came away from like, oh my God, I can't believe Honda sold cars like that to people.
Right? Yeah.
And off the showroom floor. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's, hey, like, I'll go to your Miata, right? Like, it's you can have a ton of fun without getting arrested. And that's what the old Hondas kind of were
that,
like.
That was their whole
they
thing.
They had that character. Yeah.
Yeah.
You felt like you're in the Fast and Furious, but you're not breaking any laws.
Yeah.
With this thing, it's like, it just doesn't have that freneticness
yeah,
to it.
It's a little too safe almost. Yeah. And I'm also probably being a little down on it because I just got my Miata. So like as a direct point of comparison, sport compact to sport compact, yeah. It's like, buddy, it's not gonna
and, isn't that it? Yeah. Like the Miata still it tells that. You that like you don't have to have a lot of power.
Yeah.
And you can
it
still
has
have
less
character.
Power and feels way faster. It feels exactly. way more like yeah. engaging and lively. It doesn't have the rev hang and has that little bit more intake snort. It has the little just the last nth of driver focused interestingness that I want.
And that's the thing. Like Honda knew how to make slow feel fast.
Yeah.
And now they're kind of making quick ish feel slow.
Yeah.
Like
that's
the
thing.
This SI, I feel like.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah. It does.
Yeah, because it is like, when you like booted it and you watch the speedometer, like, oh, it is like, it's not slow.
Yeah. I feel like the other vehicle we have in the garage this week is kind of like messing with our perceptions with the Civic Si a little bit.
Maybe we just, how much time do we have?
I'll be generous. We have 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay. Do we want to keep going on the Civic or just get into the next one right now?
Let's get into the next one.
All right, let's get into the next one right now. Nick, we have a special event vehicle this week. What is it?
Okay, let me riddle you this.
What you have 10 minutes and you're starting with a riddle.
What defines a crossover?
I don't like
we're
it.
Doing this.
It's based on a car.
Except this. It's Lil Harv.
You shut up about the HRV.
Okay, it's a car that's lifted.
Yes, it's lifted. It has body cladding and it has a bit of extra ride height.
Yeah.
Does that make the Lamborghini Huracan Sterrato a crossover?
I don't want Lambo to never give us a press card ever again. It makes it whatever Lamborghini wants it to be.
Oh,
well, I mean, like if you take a 911 and do a safari build on it like everyone's doing these days, is that a crossover now?
I mean, by definition.
No, not technically, because it's not an SUV. If I were to take my Beetle and put a lift kit on it, as a lot of people do, is it now a crossover?
Yeah, but that's you doing that. But if the factory did it,
that's what Lamborghini did. They took a Huracan and go, yo, you know, be fucking sick if we put ridiculous wide body on it and jack this thing up on off-road tires. And wouldn't that be fucking dumb? And they're
it
right.
It is sick. Oh my god.
Heck yeah, yo, that thing yeah. looks okay. We need to describe this for the viewers a little bit.
It is yellow.
The listeners. Yeah.
It has
fog lights. Like tacked on fog lights.
285 millimeter wide all-terrain tires out back. It has a fucking roof rack.
Yeah, it's lifted.
It's lifted. And it has zero rear visibility whatsoever.
Yeah, and because of the enormous snorkel.
Yeah, and let's also not forget the big black fender flares.
To house the enormous off-road tires.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel like I've become desensitized to Huracans because I see at least 2 to 3 of them on any given day. So it gets to the point where it's like, another Huracan. But the Sterrato, oh my god, does that ever garner attention? It's actually appreciably cool.
It's so wacky.
So it's wild. It's fucking wild.
You said that, and isn't this how we used to describe every Lambo back in the
day?
Right? So they somehow, in this weird way, by making this crossover, Nick said it, not me, Lamborghini.
It's a safari build. It's a safari build, not crossover.
They somehow got back to wacky and zany.
Yeah.
Right?
Wacky, zany, punishing.
And it's so wacky. Yeah. Oh my god, it's good. And I fucking can't believe
how
good it is.
So forget a Huracan Performante or STO.
Yeah.
The ultimate flex will now be wintering one of these things.
Yeah.
That is if I see someone do that, I will stop my vehicle, get out, and salute.
Yeah.
So these things are so fucking. Like, even when you and I were out in it today, like we had like 3 people like filming us in it.
Oh yeah.
Like 2 guys, these kids in a Camry.
Can
you launch it at the next light? Which we definitely did not do. This thing, like, there's so much theater. There's so much, like, classic, just dumb. It's dumb. It's fucking dumb in the best way. Yeah. I love it.
And it's cool because, like, aside from all the suspension and chassis work that obviously went into making Savari. It's largely similar to the to any other Huracan you can buy. It still has the same normally aspirated V10. Still has the same seven speed dual clutch, which
is it a 7-speed?
Yeah. Seven, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
7-speed.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It.
Okay. Okay. Context. I am relatively new to this game. I have not driven one of these Lamborghini Audi V10 products. I need one. Oh my god. Oh my god. It's fucking glorious. That is one of my favorite motors on earth. It's so good. I can't fucking believe it.
So it's just the noise.
I was shaking after I drove it. It's so good. And then I kept doing it.
So there is probably like an Ice Age style, the movie Ice Age, like crack happening in Nathan's brain right now, because this is the first time I've ever heard him say, outside of the God's Engine, which is
the B-58,
say that he literally said, this might be my favorite engine.
It's so good. It's so good. It's so angry. It's so loud. It's so characterful. And it's so fucking immediate. Like, everyone's doing stupid little hot V twin turbo setups for better response and more torque. No. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Give me a V10. Give me a big, stonking, stupid, angry-ass V10 and a brilliant dual clutch to just, like, snap it to life. It's so instantaneous. I can't believe it.
It's damn near telepathic. But, like, at the same time, if it's telepathic, it can be effortless. But, like, at the same time, it still channels that part of your brain that just makes you giggle like a fucking five-year-old. Because when I was coming back to the office upon picking it up, I was like, oh, well, there's no space for me to merge in the lane's ending. Okay, I'll just put my foot down. Oh, my God. By the end of that, I was just, like, fucking cackling for, like, 10 whole seconds after that. And, like, the fact that a supercar can still do that today is really quite something.
Like for me personally, like I love the style of the thing. I love the style of the thing. I love that it's a safari build. I love that it's high.
Yeah.
And that makes it, in a way, almost kind of practical in a stupid way. Mm-hmm. But, like, for me, it's all about the engine. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
That engine trans are fucking not from this planet. It's incredible.
It really is. Although I will say the flip side was a little unexpected in terms of how docile it can be.
You and I were fully having a conversation when we pulled out of the office. We're like driving with one hand, just like engrossed in our conversation. We're like
it can just be a normal car.
Once
you get over yourself, it can just be normal.
So it even does this thing where in the normal mode, which is Strada, where you can put the accelerator right to the floor, a little button thing on the back. And it won't go into insane mode it won't even kick down a gear. Like
it'll just ride the torque.
It's weird. Yeah. Like it's so like,
I was surprised by that actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you can't literally screw up
everything else downshifts before you click on this.
That's
like in that sense, like my TRS was wilder. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like in normal mode. But as soon as you touch that button, or you put it in sport mode.
Yeah, like, God, it wakes up. Yeah, even just downshift it a bit. And you're awake. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
And, but yeah, we were shocked that like you can, and you start to understand it's like why you see these Huracans everywhere, because they're so easy to daily.
Yeah.
And this Sterato, did I say that right?
Sterato.
Is lift it a little bit so you don't need to care so much about the little potholes and stuff like that. Like you can every day this insane thing. Like, which is wild.
It's so like I can't it's so good. It's so good. It just like I haven't had this before where it just like deletes self control. Like it just like it hijacks your brain, takes that away from you, and now you are gone. Now you're dumb. Be dumb. Here you go. And like, I need more. More. I need more. It's so dumb. And it encourages you to be dumb. And it's the best. I fucking love it. I haven't felt so alive in a car in such a long time. That thing is incredible.
So I'd say, like it's characterful.
Yeah.
I will say, I was pointing this out to Nick, is that when I had the 488, it was, first of all, that was a spider, so with the top down. And that's turboed, so it doesn't have that sort of Ferrari noise. But it it's very unfiltered, and it's like sort of like induction sucking noises and all this stuff. It just, it does feel like theater. The Lambo definitely sounds better.
And it still has theater too.
Tons. I am not in no way saying the Lambo doesn't. I just want to point out the fact that the 488 felt a lot scarier. But
just edgier.
But at the same time as all modern supercars, you put it in the docile mode and it's good and great. But when you put that thing in sport and you want to put that down, obviously it's rear wheel drive for one. And just because of the instantaneous torque, it really had that like push you back in your seat feel, which comparatively, and this is comparatively, the Lambo having to rev out. Didn't have that same thing.
Yeah, I get you.
And I'm not saying I prefer the 488.
No, just I get you. I know what you mean. Like it does have that turbo mid-range shove. Where it's all there.
Yeah. So it just, it's just, it felt, if you're going to drive something for a day, or for an hour, like, and you want to feel scared, it's probably the 488. The better car is probably the Huracan.
That motor's so good. It's so good. And it just keeps going and going. And it just, like, oh my God, it just doesn't stop. And like, I love that it has like an 8,500 RPM breadline, right? It does the thing like the S2000 does, where you first get in and you like, you just, you go to shift the 6 grand, because that's about when you shift a car, right? And the, there's just more. There's just so much more. Like, there's just so much more on top of that. And like, you just can't believe it's happening while it's happening to you.
Well, the funny thing, I mean, in this new turbocharged era, we're used to like 6,000 RPM breadlines and stuff, right? Like, and when you first fire this thing up, the tachometer, it limits you, because your engine's cold, to 6,000
RPM. Oh, look, it's a regular car. Good for you.
I found that kind of funny.
That was pretty funny.
And, like, I love, like, the naturally aspirated power delivery of it, where, like, it's not like, you know, like, say, the 48, where, like, you know, not that it's not fast, but, like, you put your foot down and you've got it. Right? You're just going through the gears to go through the gears. There's no real benefit to winding it out. Whereas in the Huracan, like, oh my God, it's still going, and it's still getting faster, and then bang, next one, and it's like, it starts over. Oh my God, it's still going, and still getting faster. Because it's linearly building as you go further up, so the theater increases with drama, increases with danger. It's so good.
So, not to put a damper on things, but, like, is this the end of the V10?
Well, that's bummer way to, that's a bummer way to wrap up the episode. Unfortunately, I mean, the R8's out of production.
Yeah,
I mean, for all intents and purposes, you know,
like the sun is setting.
As far as I know, Huracan getting canned?
I mean, as far as I know, like, you know, there hasn't been anything official, but like, it's bound to happen, the last run of that motor.
And but I've heard that. Heard that, like, the V12. I mean, the V. Well, we know this. With the Aventador replacement, frick, what's it called?
Revuelto.
Yeah, that kept the V12 and just added a hybrid powertrain, right? So maybe the
Huracan. I don't think the V10 has to die. I think the R8 died just because like Audi's portfolio was full enough. Whereas like, you know, Lamborghini can still make use of that. I think. I hope.
Well, fingers crossed.
Because that's a sweet engine.
Possibly
the sweetest. Oh my god!
You feel like you're cheating? You feel like you're cheating?
You're cheating on the mighty B58, Nathan.
Like, the B58 makes way more sense. I think it's the one I'd rather live with long term.
This is like him going back to his wife and be like, "You, I didn't say that it's better than you." Like,
I didn't just say she's hotter.
I was just saying.
What a glorious car!
Holy shit!
Yeah, what a work of, it's just the way it scrambles your brain. It's,
where'd you get that line from?
No, I stole it from Imran's review of the 488.
All right,
but like, there's no other way to describe it. like the 4888, the Huracan scrambles your brain when you just put it in, because like nothing else like offers that kind of theater. Nothing else just like thrill. Makes you dumb.
Yeah. Just instant giggly stupid boy. I just need more. Yeah. I don't care about anything else. Just give me more of this.
Yeah. And
now,
whether you're inside or outside of that thing, because it's sexy and a weird way, and behind the wheel, it's also sexy.
Yeah. I'm afraid of it.
Well, that's as good a spot as any to wrap up this week's episode. Thank you all for tuning in. Nathan, Imran, it's been a slice hanging out with you guys in the studio. Thank you for joining. If you all wish to keep tabs on our automotive misadventures, you can do so at doubleclutch.ca on socials.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Awesome. This was fun.
Thanks for listening, Nathan's mom.
Bye.